I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome.
Hey.
Welcome to our podcast.
The Star everybody. Companion.
The Star Companion podcast, that is.
I'm Zach.
I'm David.
And this is premier internet fan Trek Star Cast Pod. Yes?
Yeah. Some, I think I nailed some, it. It's something like that.
I definitely think I nailed it this time.
Something around that. Said people have.
Oh. You know what? Fuck Baby Yoda. I have an anecdote about Baby Yoda, by the way. Apparently, actually, allegedly, I haven't seen it. But so allegedly, the visual artist, it's a woman who did the Baby Yoda design.
What?
Go ahead. And she was so distraught with the way the process was designing it with Disney that she actually, after designing Baby Yoda and going through it, she quit visual that medium.
Did she quit because they were trying to make it into a plush toy?
She quit because they're fucking assholes at Disney.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, that triggered me.
Dude, never apologize for Disney hate. I'm right there with you, brother.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I imagine it's mostly a plush toy move.
Merchandise, yeah, for sure. You hear that? You hear that, Troy?
It's like Trailer Park Boys.
Anyway, yeah. So this is the internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast. Nailed it. It's the Star Companion. We tackle Star Trek episodes, Stardate by Stardate. And we are, in fact, on Star Trek Enterprise Season 2, Ep 24, First Flight. And boy, it's a real sick prologue to Broken Bow.
It's a real seat grabber.
I gotta tell you,
it's a real white knuckler.
In watching this one, imagine how different it would be if Picard was doing it.
Yeah,
it would be gripping.
It would.
This is supposed to be what I imagine is Bacula's dad's like tour de force, like, I'm gonna show you where I came from.
Yeah.
And he's just like still ham-handed and clunky, and yet somehow manages to manifest a green feeling about him.
Yeah.
Which he's not like fully captain in that one.
Right.
Which, good on him. Like, that's, he did a decent job at that.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I was thinking was Sisko and Picard would have crushed this.
Well, you know, I kind of likened it to the episode where Picard goes and sees his brother.
Mm-hmm.
That episode, by the way, is, like you said, it's gripping.
Yes.
You know, because there's some real tension there. Like, his brother and him, like, don't like each other.
Yeah. No, that's a great episode.
Quote, unquote, don't like each other. And then at the end, they have that mud fight, and they drink and have fun. And that, I love that episode, as dumb as it is.
The way this one ends, it ends in the same in a similar fashion mm-hmm. as all good things mm-hmm. with Q and Picard at the end. And the final thing that whatever he says is like, you know, I'll see you out there, which right. is pretty much what Q tells Picard.
Right.
And so they do that sort of allusion. And to me, I'm like, aw.
Oh,
that's cute, but you know, where's John DeLancey?
Who's that?
Q.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Where is he? I think he's gonna make a comeback in Picard.
I hope so.
And like I was telling you the other day, there's gonna be some new Trek viewers. They're gonna be watching that and be like, hey, that's Jane's dad from Breaking Bad.
Dude, yeah, when you told me that, I died. But it's like, you're probably right.
Yeah.
People are probably gonna watch Star Trek Picard and go, he kind of looks like James Woods, but that's definitely James' dad. Yeah, from Breaking Bad.
And he grew a goatee.
Oh, weird.
He looks bad with a goatee.
Mon Capitan.
Mon Capitan.
I love Q.
Yeah, he's great.
There's the
episode where he loses his powers, mm-hmm. right? And at mm-hmm. the end of that episode, he gets his powers back. And so he snaps. And he brings in that mariachi band.
That's right.
Right? And then he snaps in two, like, almost naked women on Riker.
Yep.
And Picard's like, Q, enough of this. He's like,
Q?
He's like, what's wrong, Mon Capitan? And he snaps his fingers again, and they end up on Worf, and Worf starts looking around. He's like, I'm in the mood to celebrate. And Picard very viscerally goes, well, I'm not! Like, he is so stern, and it's just such a funny little quote.
Picard acts his goddamn ass off.
He does.
And I think I'm convinced at this point that Star Trek would have died mm-hmm. had they not have casted Patrick Stewart.
You're right.
Or cast Patrick Stewart.
You're right.
You know, because he can get you through that stuff.
Yeah, he can.
And it's that man is a tour de force in anything that he does.
Yeah. So we were kind of having this conversation the other day. So you think Sisko is your favorite captain?
So no. I think Picard 100% is my favorite captain.
Mm-hmm.
I think DS9 is the best iteration.
Okay.
It tackles more things.
Yeah.
Many, many more things.
Right.
And it does it so effectively. The Cardassians are such an excellent antagonist.
They are. And they show up in the Next Generation too, and you're like, when you kind of first see them, they're that one captain goes rogue. Uh-huh. And he starts blowing up the Cardassian freighters and shit mm-hmm. and killing innocent people. And he's like, oh, they're smuggling weapons. I know it. And he's like, you can't do that. You can't just go out and indiscriminately blow up people.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be correct later on.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch that video I sent you?
I did. Yeah, that was great.
So, like that, I sent David the video of Sisko literally threatening to bomb the shit out of McKee.
And he villages.
Does. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's like, and so that right there encapsulates mm-hmm. DS9.
Mm.
It's like,
it's this gray area.
You have to do what you need to do, mm-hmm. you know, and you got to stick by your guns.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a bluff,
but he really sure
shit wasn't.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, we digress.
A little bit. There's really not much to talk about this episode. I mean, I don't know if we mentioned it, but it's season 2, episode 24. The episode name is First Flight, stardate unknown. Probably in 2153. And basically it's Archer reflecting to T'Pol about his lead
boy,
up to him becoming captain.
His boy A.G. Robinson.
A.G. Robinson dies and
he dead.
He did. T'Pol accompanies him on a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
They find a cluster of dark matter, like a dark matter nebula of some sort.
Oh, that's something. Right. And T'Pol doesn't believe in dark matter.
No.
Yeah.
Not no.
So they shoot their fireworks rockets.
Shoot their fireworks rockets at it, and while they're doing that, Archer regales her with the tale of A.G. Robinson, his bud from back in the day.
And why he's so broody.
Yeah. Well, I'm sad.
The coolest part about this episode was mm-hmm. you got to meet Ruby.
Yep.
And that's the waitress that Reed and Trip were both into.
They both knew the name of her kids.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
David, I'll fuck you.
Yeah.
I will fuck you.
Did you see the space pretzels on the bar table?
I did see the space pretzels, and I was wondering if you're going to bring it up.
They barely touched them.
Barely touched them.
I really wonder what's up with that. Is there has to be some fucking producer or showrunner who's like, you know what we need? I mean, if they're at a bar, they need pretzels to eat. They need nummy snacks, they need to nosh on.
They need nummy snacks.
So, hey, David.
Zach.
The warp field just won't hold. NX Zach to NX Dave, come in. Hey, NX Dave, can you hear me? So stupid.
I'm going for it.
I'm
just going for it.
The Vulcans are fucking pieces of shit in this one.
They are.
Something I really wanted to say was right at the beginning, you know, Dad's stoked about this black dark matter nebula, right?
Right.
And he gets a call from Admiral Forrest, and Dad's like, this is great timing, Admiral, I got some cool readings you'll be front row seat for. Yeah, well, I've got some bad news. Dad, Trip, not this time, nope. Anyway.
He's dead. He's dead, John.
He's dead.
Who's that? AG. He died climbing the Himalayas. Mount McKinley, actually.
Mountaineering accident on Mount McKinley.
Yeah. Not a very cool mountain to die on.
Why not let him die on Everest? Like, what was the writing point of that? You know?
But a mountain nonetheless.
Anyway.
Still doing his survival training.
They call me Trip. I'm Trip.
Who,
you know.
Who is that smooth talking boy from Florida? I need him on my crew.
I bet you hog tie a hog and cook it up pretty good.
I'll take you down for a death roll like you wouldn't believe, boy.
This is the single lamest bar I have ever seen, by the way. There's not even any music in the background. No, like, smooth jazz that you could get behind.
There's no character to this bar. I guess rather than dissecting the entire plot of this fucking episode, we'll just pick out our favorite parts.
Have a little faith to Paul, you know. Faith of the heart.
One of my favorite moments of this is when Commodore Forrest comes to have a drink with Archer and Trip.
Mm-hmm.
He sits down and they're both kind of awkward. You know, they're like, oh, so Commodore, can I get you a drink, Commodore?
Commodore beer, would you like to drink?
Wow, would you look at that woman? I would like to, never mind, not copulate with her. And it reminded me... I used to work at a corporate job, and we had like a company lunch one time where we all went out to like this place.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
was this your last job?
This is my last job.
So I can know.
Okay. Yeah. And the partners come out, you know, the basically the owners of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And the main partner comes out, and he's got jeans on, he's rolled up his sleeves, and he just kind of has this attitude like, I'm just one of you boys, you know, like, I'm like one of you 9-to-5ers, get yourself some gumbo, son.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
it just reminded me of that, you know, like Admiral Forrest shows up, starts unbuttoning his lapels, he's like, so what do you boys like to do? You like to drink beer?
Brazenly undoes his tie to show that he's relaxing with him, and it's like, that's weird.
I'm just like you 9-to-5ers.
Another one of my favorite points is, how about those space tubs for packing personal things?
Yeah.
They made it space by taping the lid to the backside so they could close it. Fascinating. Did you hear her say it?
I heard her say it. She said fascinating.
Yeah.
Another part that I liked is, you know, AG is, he's taken the first ship out for a spin, warp drive.
Okay.
And it doesn't go so hot. He takes it way over its limit. And he pulls the old Columbia disaster trick.
And this has been the Star Companion.
Nobody dies, though. And after this, Archer says he made the record books for being the first person to eject... In an escape pod mid warp, and I just love the idea of holding a record for something that you shouldn't do or something shitty. You know?
Yeah,
like that. I would love nothing more than to
be like commemorated. Like the world record for masturbating?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, gross.
World record for not blinking or like holding your hand up for the longest time or whatever. You know, that'd be fun.
You know, on the topic of that, I actually did see something today that in like 2007, there's a man who owns the world... I forget what the world record is, but what he did was is he counted to a million live with a video and posted it online.
I see that on Reddit all the time. The Reddit Live.
Oh, sure. But no, I mean, this guy was the first guy to do it.
Yeah, he actually did it.
He was the first one to do it.
Yeah, and he actually did it.
And he didn't shave or take a shit or anything.
Whoa.
You know, I think he probably pissed his pants and all of that, and it took him 3 months.
Whoa.
And he sat in the same spot and just did it.
Huh.
And
see, that's the kind of shit I like.
No, yeah, no, he was committed, and I really respect the shit out of that. He had like a house that looks like it was from the mid 2000s.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a old tripod, like, in, you know, some sort of like rigmarole holding the camera at the couch.
Yeah.
It looked old.
Okay.
God bless him. But that's the guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. I would like to find out who holds the world record for running out on a football field nude.
Well, like most times or longest run?
This is the most.
Okay.
I've seen some pretty long ones on YouTube.
Me too.
Where they go over and they like take a picture with the soccer player.
Yeah.
They're like patting him on the back. Those are my favorite people ever. You know, one year I was watching the World Series. This is probably about 10, 15 years ago. And the Yankees won the World Series. You know, and they win, you know, they hit...
Oh, when they were winning all of them.
Yeah, they hit, like, a home run, you know, and the game's pretty much over. But they got to finish out the inning. And I saw a fan run out into the field and slide into home base shirtless.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Is one of my favorite people ever. I just love that person.
Because
you know that person is, like... They have really good seats, you know, but they're and they're just sitting there the whole time like, I'm going to do it.
It's
and
happening.
And their friends are
it's
like, happening. Don't do it, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah, Rick, don't.
And he fucking does it. He gets to spend the night in the slammer.
In the Yankees drunk tank.
Yeah.
One final thing that one final thing that I have is when Robinson gets the notice that he's going to pilot it and Dad doesn't, you know. They go to the 602. And Dad goes to buy him a beer, and Robinson goes, no, I'll buy it for you. Hey, Leo, two more. And not 3 seconds later, the beers were already poured and ready to go.
Yeah.
What kind of fucking cinema, like, you know, magic is that?
I think they have one beer at that bar. Because later on in the episode...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, when Trip orders... Yeah,
beer.
Beer.
Yeah. Oh, just beer?
Which one?
So he had them already poured? You think he just went and grabbed them?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Well, what will you have? A beer.
Beer. Bourbon.
Whiskey.
Yeah, they're doing their damnedest to, like, not go Miller... Fuck! You got to pay him now. Beer.
Space Coors.
Let's see. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got, too. There's really not much to talk about on this episode.
That's okay. You want to know why?
Is IndyArk's coming?
I am ready for you to see this IndyArk, dude.
You got a little tent in your pants there, fella.
Yeah. I'm going to be pitching it until we record tomorrow after we watch those other two. Anyway, this has been the Star Companion. You can like and subscribe. Send David your social. Send me your address. I'll get you a sticker. After David, of course, goes and gets them. We're on all major podcasting platforms. You can send us $1. It's the season of giving. Happy holidays. And
Hanukkah.
Merry New Year. And
take care of yourself.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.